for this opportunity to open God's Word and share it with you. If you will, take your Bibles and join with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This message this morning here within this text is dealing with the church's calling in Christ. And who are we as a church? Who are we as a church established and are called by Christ for a specific purpose? And we have a calling in Christ, and it is due to our relationship with Christ. Our relationship with Christ, or our relation with Christ, should reflect in all of our life, not just as a church as a whole, but also as individuals as we press on forward, going towards and striving to advance the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. Let's read here in verse 1. Paul, with all so that ye become comprehend. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, today we thank you for your many blessings. We love you. We praise you for who you are. We worship you, for you are worthy and you are great, and you are to be glorified in our lives. Father, I thank you for this opportunity, this time to be here in your house to sing praises unto your name with your people. Lord God, I pray that your Spirit will move and work in a mighty way. May we focus on you. We would completely be consumed with your glory and you and Christ. And I pray, Father, that you will be honored through this service this morning and this afternoon. I pray that you will be glorified and lifted up. Father, we thank you for all you've done. We thank you for all that you will do. And it is in Christ's name I pray. Amen. By way of introduction, there's three thoughts I want to bring out, to give you kind of a context of 1 Corinthians as a whole, and also give you the context that derives at the beginning of. And so, there was devastating issues here within the church, but he's recognizing that they are a divine institution in a city, in the city of Corinth. The issue here we see is in context context and the very view of everything is that we are to be a church in the world, but the issue became that the world was seeping into the church. We think of a boat, we think of a ship on the sea, and here is a ship on in the water, basically surrounded by water. But here's a picture of basically the water within the boat, and the boat is sinking within the very sea that it is in. The issue is that the world is seeping in the church, and there's a devastating issue. The church here at Corinth had become a defiant. They were giving into drunkenness during the Lord's Supper. They were giving into immorality. This is a devastating issue when it comes to a church, when we give into the things of the world and not give into the things of God. The church here, Paul, they are a people, they are he's going to be reminded, he's going to instruct. We'll get into this person, make progression in the text, but he says unto the church of God, to them that are sanctified in Christ. They are set apart. They are different from everyone else. They are sanctified in Christ. Church, here I want to tell you this morning to be reminded. Wicked place. We are called by the Great Commission to preach the gospel, to baptize, and to disciple. That is our commission. That is our command. That is why we are congregated together. The kingdom of God is at hand. And there are people who have not repented, and there are people who are not saved, and they do not worship God, and we must tell them of the gospel. We must tell them of who God is and who we are in our position before a righteous and holy God. We are to tell them they are to worship God. Church, I want to encourage you here this morning that you are and He's going to remind them that you are called. You are sanctified. We think of this. Issue within our churches here today that we think that the only people that are church. And I want to see, we're going to see this as we dive into the text here. So first of all, I began by reading from verse 1 to 3. Let me keep time. I sometimes go over. Verse 1 to 3, Paul. The first notice here, first of all, them that are sanctified in Christ. Now I'm just going to ask, it's kind of during Sunday school hours, so I'm going to ask, raise of hand, how many of you know what sanctification means? Or sanctified. The idea is to continue or to be to continue in holiness, to be separated, to set apart. But notice something. We as today, we are being sanctified. We're in the act of sanctification. We are being sanctified every day. But what is he saying here? You have been sanctified. Not that you are, you have been sanctified. So what is going on here? He's pointing out that there has, in the church of Corinth, there has been a decisive change of path. Change in their life. You have been called out of darkness, but you are now called into light. You have been called out of unholiness to holiness. He's saying there's an issue here. Church, you have been sanctified. And I'll say that today, this morning, you have been sanctified. You have been set apart. Set apart from the world. You have been set apart from the things of the world for the glory of God, for the gospel. We have been set apart. There has been a decisive break or change of our lives. And we are to continue on. There has been a decisive change. But then he says that there's not just been a decisive change, but there has been a divine call. Look what he says. You've been called to be saints. Church, you know what a local church is made up of? Saints. We all make up, each and every one of you. I don't think Paul is saying, he's not just speaking to the church collectively, just collectively, but he's getting to be very specific. He is saying each and one of you have been called to be saints. You are the ones who make up this divine institution, this local church. You are called saints. You have in the world, and we come together and we are the local church. You see here today, what about you in your life? Very elementary, but what about in your life? How are you living? What are you doing? When you're at work, what kind of vocabulary do you use? What kind of temperament, attitude do you have? Whether you're at home, how do you lead your family, man? How do you lead your family? How do you instruct? Our Lord, both theirs and ours. So what is he saying here? There's a common response of all of us. That first of all, when it says here that in every place call upon our Lord, he is saying here that we are continually seeking God. We have turned from what I was trusting in. We have turned away from the sins of the world, and we have made a new allegiance with Christ. He is our Lord. We are to serve a master. We are going to serve a master, whether it's man or money or the devil or Satan or whatever, or sin or own pleasures, or we're going to serve the Lord. But we as a church, we have been sanctified. We've been separated. We've made a new allegiance, and we do so by every day. And we are calling upon Him for what? For our help and our guidance in our life. That we would continue on and pressing forward. And so Paul, you are... He is your God and He is my God. He is your Savior and your King and your Lord, and He is mine. And we call upon the same God. I would say that I'm not going to get into, I have a different stance and position on this, and I will not bring all that to light, but I would say this, that we can fellowship with those maybe of a different denomination, if I would say. I'm not saying if they believe in a different Christ, then you know what, there's issues. But if they believe and trust in the same Christ and preach the same Christ, despite all the secondary issues, we can fellowship with them. Maybe not. We can still talk with them and help them.
do that.
He's saying there is both yours and ours. Thus dealing with the issue in verse 12, when they became divided, they were divided into four. We have a common relationship. The church has been sanctified in Christ. But then let's continue on here in verse 4 through 6. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So the church has been sanctified in Christ. But the second thing that Paul is bringing out, the church has been supplied by Christ. They have been supplied. He says, first of all, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. He's saying that, first of all, I thank my God always. We can always be thankful for what God is doing for one another in their lives, and what He's doing and working and blessing them by and with. But He's saying, you, church, have been supplied. You have been enriched with grace and gifts. That word enriched means you've been made wealthy, rich. You have a fulfillment. You lack nothing. You've been enriched by whom? Christ. By Him. In all utterance and all knowledge. So what is He saying here? You know, utterance is speech and all knowledge. You know, there's a lot of people who do a lot of talking, but they don't have nothing to talk about, right? And there's a lot of people who know a lot of things, but they don't do much talking. There's kind of a weird change there. But what He's saying here with this church, you've been supplied with both utterance and speech. You've been speech and knowledge. And the same with you here today. We have been given all. You have been enriched. And so what are you doing about it? He's reminded them, you have been supplied by Christ, but also notice you have just been enriched by grace, but notice in verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So have you been enriched by grace? I'm going to make a point here because I've seen it and it's an issue. And it's heartbreaking. The issue with this church, as I've already said, they had a lot of issues. They were completely saturated with sin, allowing sin in the world to seep in. I believe the Word of God is inspired. The Word of God, Paul writes, has been inspired, all right, by God. And so when he says unto the church of God, He is still confirming them and saying, you are still a church. Thus, and though sin and everything going on in this people, despite all that, they're still a church. And he's also saying the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. There's evidence of the gospel. I've seen it several times where a church would allow some immorality or sin in their congregation or in those people, and other surrounding churches would mark them off and say, well, we removed their candlestick. I would say we ought not do so because, my friend, despite... they're still a church. The church of God. Sin. They were a wicked people. They were still... they're allowing all the sin to seep in. But God, so you are a church. And he says, "You have. There's been evidence of the gospel in the life." The church has been sanctified and they have been supplied. But also we see here in verse 7 through 9, so you shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So, not just we have been sanctified and supplied, but we have been sustained. We have been sustained in Christ. He says, in end of verse 7, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall confirm you unto the end. We see, first of all, we are sustained in Christ by, first of all, by perseverance. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're persevering. I believe, and I truthfully, I am confident, and I believe that for a child of God, for one who is truly saved and know the Savior, that he will persevere. I do know that sin does creep in, that sin does get the best of us at times. But a child of God will be, first of all, chastened by God, and that child will persevere. He will be waiting. He will be ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was also said that if they leave us, they were never of us. Well, church, brother, sister in Christ, persevere. Know that we are sustained in Christ and we persevere because of Christ and in Christ. There is no way that we'll go away and never come back. We will come back and we will continue. And then also we see preservation. Whom shall also confirm you unto the day, or unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of a rotten banana, you know. You have a banana sitting on the table. Bananas are good. But you let them sit on the table for too long, they're going to end up rotting. That's the opposite of preservation, you know. What does being preserved mean? It means to continue in freshness in life. To stay good, you know. To stay in the context of fruit edible. You see, the child of God, he's not just persevering, but he is preserved. He's preserved by Christ. So when the coming of that day, when we stand before God, His righteousness does not. His righteousness. In Christ, we are persevered. We persevere and we are preserved. So we are sustained in Christ, but we are secure in Christ. Notice here in verse 9, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. He's saying you are, first of all, secure by the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. He is true. Despite the same with God, we are the church. And we're secure, we are sustained within Him and because of Him. He is faithful. He is true. But then also we are secure in the fellowship of Christ. We have a relation with Christ that Paul has been bringing out since verse 1. You've been sanctified in Christ, you've been supplied by Christ, you've been given grace. There's evidence of the gospel because of Christ. Christ is all within this. And church, we have a fellowship with Christ. We individually have a fellowship, a relationship with Christ. Okay? Don't lose sight of that. But this fellowship is intimate. Okay? Think about this. We are knowing deeper and deeper as we continue on. I thought of it this way. I heard one preacher put it like this. It's not that God we're found in Him. So when going back to the perseverance and preservation here, we are secure in His fellowship because God we fellowship with the Savior, the Son of God. That's the reason we are adopted and we are sons of God as well. My friend, that's what Paul is bringing out. And to conclude this, our relation with Christ should and will reflect in our life. Reflect in our personal lives, but also within the church. And the church will continue on. And the church will continue preaching the gospel and continue for the advancement of the gospel and the kingdom of God. And they will continue on. They will still be a light in darkness, a city on a hill. They will continue. My friend, the church has a calling in Christ, and may we never forget that. And so, if I were to give a little bit of application here and a couple of thoughts, first of all, know who you are in relation with God. We have an identity issue in today's society. Boys don't know who they are. They think they're girls. Girls think they're boys. They like the same sex. We have all this issue, identity issue in our society and culture today. But the thing is, know who you are in relation to Christ. Know your relationship with Him and you are identified with Him. And also know yourself called by God. You've been called by God for a specific purpose, reason. To worship God and to preach the gospel. And you're called and you're kept by God. Know that. Don't forget that. So church, I pray for you. And I pray that you would continue in faithfulness, seeking and living for the glory of our God. Let us pray. Father God.